It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 730 WTNT, The Truth. My next guest is Tony Blankley, author of American Grit, What It Will Take to Survive and Win in the 21st Century, and vice president of the Edelman Public Relations Firm here in Washington, D.C. His column today in the commentary section of the Times, Newt's Past and Future Leadership. Wow, is this a hot button issue? Hello, Tony.
Hey, hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. All right, Newt's Past and Future, you have worked in the past with Newt. Would you please tell people what you did for him and how long you worked for him?
Yes, from January 1990 until January of 1997, I was his press secretary and I think fair to say probably right-hand staff guy for those 7 years.
Okay.
He'd become the Republican whip, the minority whip, in October of 1989. So I came on right after he started that, and then through his first 2 years as Speaker.
All right. I'm going to assume you are not surprised by the attacks that have taken place over the past couple of weeks in particular, not only from the left, but from the right.
No, Newt has had very strong opposition within Washington circles, both Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, and media, law firms, PR guys. The whole crowd in this town gets very uncomfortable around Newt because he has a very strong vision of what he thinks needs to be done for the country, and he really is pretty willful about trying to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that scares a lot of people who are comfortable in where they are. And that may be fair to them. A lot of purists never really understood why Newt seemed to be maneuvering around on so many issues. I talk about that a little bit in this column today.
You know, it's funny you mention that because someone recently said to me, and I'm trying to remember who it is, forgive me, but someone said that Newt would come up with a million ideas and you were expected to pounce on him, and it bothered some people.
Well, the reason you don't remember is because almost everybody has said that in town, that Newt has a drawer full of ideas and a full drawer full of good ideas or something like that. Yeah, I think it may be fair to say that Newt did not always explain his tactics to fellow members. I think he probably couldn't, and I was there by his side. Let me give you an example of one of the problems that got a lot of members today. You hear them coming out and saying Newt was erratic, etc. Here was the strategic challenge Newt faced when he became leader, and in fact when he became minority whip before he became Speaker, which was that we did not have 218 votes on the floor of the House when we were in the majority starting in 95.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 170 conservative Republicans. There were about 20 to 35 liberal and moderate Northeast Republicans. The normal thing that happens in Congresses is when you've got a minority on one edge of either party, they get in the catbird seat, they play off each party against the other. That's what the Blue Dogs have tried to do in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Newt understood that if he was to get stuff done, he needed the loyalty, not just the time-to-time support, of those Northeastern liberals and moderates. In order to get them, he had to earn their loyalty by giving them some things in legislation, some bills, that conservatives didn't like. And he had to figure out exactly the minimum he needed to give them and move at exactly the right moment to minimize what he had to give away to get those votes. So a lot of good, solid conservative members didn't understand that. They just saw Newt kind of not being true and blue to every issue that they believed in. In fact, Newt was strategically managing a very unstable and too small majority, working majority on the floor. So that's an example. A lot of members today still remember that and resent that. Other members resent the fact that Newt kind of modified the seniority system. When he came in, he realized we needed the best. We needed Henry Hyde in judiciary, but Henry Hyde wasn't qualified. He wasn't senior enough. Newt jumped a member to get there. He needed Johnny Kasich, now the governor of Ohio, to be the head of our budget committee, but he was too junior. Newt moved these people up, and everybody who got jumped and all the people behind them who got jumped by influence got their feathers ruffled and have not forgotten over all these decades.
Isn't that funny? I was about to ask you about a perceived pecking order, and you hit right on it.
Yeah, so it's, You know, it's not – obviously, I think Newt – everybody knows, and you can see it on every debate. Newt is a powerful personality, expresses himself vividly, and sometimes if you're on the receiving end of that, it's not enjoyable. Now, I had a ball working for him, and he told me off, and I told him off, and he wouldn't have it any other way. He liked people to talk back, yeah. And he wanted to hear good ideas. But, you know, he would say, Tony, if you think I'm doing something wrong, tell me. I may come back with you with six arguments why I think you're wrong, but go ahead and tell me.
Yeah.
And he would have his mind open. So he, for me, he was a dream to work with, and there were a fair number of members who got it, that what Newt wanted was strong people around him who were willing to express their views, because he's a strong guy, and he's going to express his views.
Yeah. All right, so in the past couple of weeks, we've heard from people like Senator Tom Coburn saying that he's not the guy. We've heard from Glenn Beck, who says he'd rather vote for a third-party candidate. We heard last night from Michael Savage, right here on this very radio station, that he would give Newt $1 million to simply go home. What is going on with the media types even jumping on board?
Well, let me go to the senator, who I greatly admire. Newt once said, not just to him, but to a whole group of members who were opposed to a compromise, on, I think, on a spending bill, that they were perfectionists when they were opposing it. And I think a lot of members resented that.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, you know, a perfectionist vote would have probably got, I forget exactly, but probably somewhere less than 218 votes, which is what we needed.
Right.
And so we had to compromise.
Sure.
But Newt maybe didn't need to call him perfectionist. He maybe could have said, you have goals that can't be met.
Mm-hmm.
But he used the word perfectionist and it got under people's skin. As far as the talk show host, I love Savage. I listen to him when I can. But he's a showman.
And
I think the $1 million offer is part of showmanship.
Yeah. I think personally he'd fall over if Newt took it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Glenn Beck is an interesting guy because I've been a great fan of Glenn Beck's ever since he started doing his talk radio show years ago.
Right.
He has very strong views, and he won't be deflected by sort of tactical arguments. And he sees, I think, in Newt far too much tactical calculation for his taste. I think to some extent that's the difference between some of us who are commentators or talk show hosts and others who are trying to get government to work. And sometimes it's very easy for a conservative right now, a commentator, to come out and badmouth Newt for being imperfect, just as a lot of them are badmouthing Romney for being imperfect. I think Romney's a fine man, and will make he's not my first choice, Newt is, but Romney's a fine man, and he's so much more conservative than Obama that I think he'd make a swell president. But it's easy to anyone can pick apart inconsistencies. Anyone who's been around government and policy and trying to make things work have inconsistencies. That's the way you get to pass anything in this business.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, having talked about the negative aspect, all the people slamming him, there have been others who have stepped up as recently as this morning. Dick Cheney on CNN and, and said, hey, he's a good guy, and he didn't endorse him, but he said, hey, he needs to be respected. My question is this. Why has mainstream America done an about-face on him? They're suddenly embracing him, which is very odd, and I think that befuddles a lot of these media types, a lot of the politicians, whether they're on the left or the right. They're stymied by this whole thing.
Well, there is a reason why, back in the mid-90s, Newt led one of the most historic election victories in the nation's history, which was to take back Congress, both the House for the first time in 40 years and the Senate as well back. Newt was a public face and the public voice of that. He did touch the nation, not just conservative Republicans, but independents, and we got Reagan Democrats. So Newt does know how to talk to the country. He's been doing it for a long time. He believes in the country. He's traveled. He didn't stop traveling around the country when he left office. So it doesn't surprise me that he's getting their attention. Now, it will be interesting to see how the public reacts with Washington in in high sort of mode. They're pouring all they can on Newt.
Right.
And we'll see what effect that has. May have some. It may not. It'll be more interesting to see if it doesn't have much of an effect, how long the Beltway braying will go on.
It really is something. I'm telling you, I'm fascinated by the whole process. Great story today. Great piece. Newt's Past and Future Leadership. It's by Tony Blankley, and it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining me, Tony.
Thanks. I enjoyed it.
Take care.